Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. We're joined by Daniel Horowitz, I believe one of the smartest, most thoughtful, most influential young men in America these days, certainly on, well, the right side of the issue. He is a senior editor these days at Conservative Review, an extraordinarily important platform now featuring the great work of Mark Levin as well as Daniels and others. He is the author of The Conservative Consciousness with Daniel Horowitz, also the author of a hugely important new book, Stolen Sovereignty, How to Stop Unelected Judges from Transforming America. Daniel Horowitz, welcome back. It is always a pleasure to have you with us. Thanks so much for your time.
Always great to be with you. Never enough time.
There is never enough time, but let's see what we can do to remedy that in the near future. But for the moment, we've got a glorious 10 minutes, so let's talk about a couple of things. I wanted to visit with you about your analysis of what I think you've quite rightly described as a suicidal immigration policy that we've been pursuing under the Obama administration. Would you characterize why it is suicidal and what on earth we're doing in implementing this policy?
Sure. You know, when it comes to public policy, so many things are abstract. There's a lot of conjecture involved, suppositions, especially on economic theory. But seldom are you blessed with such a vivid illustration in front of your eyes what not to do. And we look ominously across the pond to our European brethren, and we see what Angela Merkel and some of the European leaders have done to destroy their country, their cultures. You have daily terror attacks there. And it's not a result of, you know, just some immediate kind of policy of bringing over the wrong people. It's a cumulative effect of years, decades worth of supplanting Western civilization with large numbers of Muslim immigrants. And that's the key, the large numbers. There's a lot of debate over a blanket Muslim ban, and I think it's kind of a straw man because we first need to talk about why are we importing record numbers from the Middle East after we see the failed experiment in Europe. So that was the article, you know, I wrote earlier this week, that 50% of our refugee intake, because we do track refugees by religion, unlike other sectors of immigration, and indeed 50% are Muslim. And, you know, while not all of them are problematic, you guys, Center for Security Policy, commissioned a poll, and you found roughly a third of them do believe in Sharia very fervently, even, you know, jihad in the pursuit of Sharia. There's been a lot of talk about Syrian refugees. We've taken in 10,000. Obama wants to bring in tens of thousands more, but also Somali refugees. Very quietly, Obama has brought in about another 10,000 this fiscal year. And remember, in Minneapolis, we've had similar problems to what the Europeans have had, with a lot of them going on to fight for terror groups, plot terror attacks. So this is suicide embodied through public policy.
Daniel, as I say, you are very thoughtful on these things. And I know that you have given some deliberate thought to the question beyond the violent jihadists, which is an obvious problem. And the fact that the Islamic State and, you know, al-Shabaab and others are using migration as a means of insinuating into this country people who will engage in jihad of the violent kind here. We also have large numbers within that other migration from this community that explicitly embraces Islamic supremacism but may not express it through violence. And I wonder what your thoughts are. Donald Trump referred to this in his speech on Monday as the support networks that are enabling radicalization. I wonder, you know, how important is that to your concern about this suicidal strategy, especially in light of, as you say, a similar kind of phenomenon in Europe?
You know, that really is the dirty little secret no one wants to talk about. When they talk about vetting, everyone likes to say, well, you want to vet out someone who has a membership card to ISIS. Well, you know, few people do. And like I said, this is a long-term problem. Think about many of the attackers, San Bernardino attacker, his family, or the Chattanooga shooter was 2 years old when he was brought over here. So, you know, look, you know, a cute little baby there. There's certainly no way to vet that. The problem is, like you said, the support networks. I have an entire chapter in my book, Stolen Sovereignty. We always talk about our values on immigration. The left likes to talk about that. And I wanted to explore what are our true values. And our true values were this. We would understand that immigration is an elective policy. You know, we got a lot of jerks in our own country, and there's a limit to what you could do about that in a free society, and that's a good thing. But immigration is an elective policy, and our founders, our early political leaders, always believed that given that it's an elective policy, you only want to bring in people of merit, people that will actually enrich the society. You know, Madison, as early as the Constitutional Convention, when they debated this, you know, citizenship laws, they wanted to maintain the character of liberality, which had been, quote, professed in all the constitutions and publications of America, and he wanted to, quote, invite foreigners of merit and Republican principles among us. So, I mean, he was talking about concerns about, you know, aristocrats coming from France and some of these European countries. They could have never envisioned something like Sharia law, which is antithetical to Republican constitutional values. That was, I mean, that is a given that we should all agree that we only want to bring in people that love America, love our people, love our values, and love our Constitution. It is that bedrock. And I think, you know, if Trump really hones in on that message and runs ads to that effect and prosecutes that case against Hillary, that's a very uniting message right there. Because, you know, even Democrats, we might disagree on some policies, but we certainly don't want to bring in, you know, anti-Semitism, you know, the treatment of women, totalitarian views. This is a very uniting view, and it actually is deeply rooted in our history on immigration.
Yeah, and you've made so many really key points there. Daniel, let me close with you by asking about a piece of legislation speaking about American values that we're told is a point on which Republicans and Democrats, at least in the Congress, can unite. Much ballyhooed at the moment as an example of uncommon bipartisanship, namely what's called criminal justice reform. You've called it the jailbreak bill. Talk about what this would really result in and its advisability.
Well, they always have these mellifluous sounding names, you know, because they want everyone to think, hey, you know, who opposes reform? Look, the time we live in, this is the absolute worst time to begin reducing sentencing, letting people out of federal prison. Obama, if you've noticed, there's a three-pronged war on our security. There's the foreign policy, national security. There's homeland security with immigration and the borders. And then there's domestically, this domestic insurrection, the rise in crime in major metropolitan areas for the first time in over two decades. This is a very disturbing trend. So the last thing you want to do is become more lenient on some of the mandatory sentencing that actually helped create the two-decade-long improvement, one of the greatest improvements we've ever had in reduction in violent crime. So when they come back in September, naturally Congress has a way of adding gasoline to a fire instead of putting water on it. So they want to pass legislation letting more people out of federal prison. And this is dangerous because Obama has already let out thousands, either directly through commutations or the U.S. Sentencing Commission has reduced sentencing for thousands of violent drug offenders. And as you know, they're not just drugs. They're involved in other violent crimes, ironically, firearms crimes. While Obama goes after law-abiding gun owners, he wants to let violent gun felons out of prison. But then you also have the courts now that are retroactively releasing a number of people. They're redefining cruel and unusual punishment. They're redefining statutes. This is a very disturbing time where, you know, you have all the elements that were there in the 70s. And I know you remember that in the era of violent crime, and we certainly don't want to return to that.
On steroids, I'm afraid, and I think you're absolutely right to raise the red flag on this one. As you have done incredibly effectively in your new book, Daniel Horowitz, Stolen Sovereignty, How to Stop Unelected Judges from Transforming America. You can also find his writings about how to stop Barack Obama from doing the same as well. Daniel Horowitz of the Conservative Review, thank you so much for your time today and for the superb work you do. I know you will keep it up, and I hope you will come back to us again very soon. Next up, Michael Auslin of the American Enterprise Institute joins us to talk about a provocative new insight he's had into the end of the Asian century, war, stagnation, and the risks to the world's most dynamic region. That and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.